Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. In just a moment, we will have my friend Madison Cawthorn, the youngest man ever elected to Congress. He's terrific, and he's a good friend of mine. But I just want to say Madison Cawthorn's a true American. We're going to hear from him in just a second because he is being targeted by major international groups and Democrat groups, I should say, that also have international implications, to try to get him not to run based on that story we did a couple weeks ago where a lot of you said, oh, Charlie, come on. It's not like they could disqualify people by just calling you an insurrectionist. That is precisely what is happening to Madison in North Carolina. Madison Cawthorn is here, congressman from North Carolina. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. So what is a Republican? Is a Republican someone that can just give themselves that designation? Can you all of a sudden just become a Republican, just like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy? Just because you say you are a Republican does not mean you are a Republican. Now, I'm actually a registered independent. I'm a conservative. Do you get that? A Christian first, then an American, then a constitutionalist, then a conservative, and then a Republican. I don't vote for Democrats. That's not the point. I just have lots of problems with the Republican Party. However, I am very pleased with what the Republican Party did in the last 24 hours. Our friend who runs Turning Point Action and also runs parts of Turning Point USA and does a great job and is the chairman for the Arizona Republican National Committee, Tyler Boyer, was involved in this now national news story. So what is a Republican anyway? Well, a Republican should be someone that doesn't pander to the left, that isn't trying to achieve the aims, ambitions, and goals of Pelosi and Schumer. A Republican is someone who values the United States Constitution, that does not want to use congressional overreach or power to try and destroy people's lives. A Republican believes in separation of powers, in an independent judiciary. A Republican believes in checks and balances and consent to the governed. But breaking in the last 24 hours, the Republican National Committee is meeting in Salt Lake City, and they have issued a statement censuring Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney for their involvement in the January 6th committee. The resolution, quote, would immediately cease any and all support for the two conservative Trump critics. It said their behavior has been destructive, the House Republicans and the GOP, obviously, House of Representatives and GOP. Now, the significance of this is that Liz Cheney does not automatically get GOP or RNC support then in her primary campaign against Harriet Hageman. Harriet, I've known for probably 6 years, actually. She's a wonderful person from Wyoming. She's terrific. Now, some Republican members slam the move. Bill Cassidy, I've known Bill Cassidy for years, senator from Louisiana. He's such a nice person, but he's just so wrong lately. He's not just on this issue. What else was Bill Cassidy wrong on recently? There was something he was just so wrong on. Infrastructure, there was something else that he voted on that was so stunning. So Bill Cassidy says, quote, RNC is censuring Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger because they're trying to find out what happened on January 6th. Is that what they're doing? Is that what Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger are doing, just trying to get to the bottom of the – just get into the bottom of the story? Is that really what they're doing? No, they're using congressional subpoena power to go after people's private phone records, an unprecedented move against American citizens. They are making people spend tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to defend themselves because they went to a free speech protected rally and got nowhere near the Capitol. They held Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress because he wanted to exert executive privilege. Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger are not just trying to find out what happened on January 6th. Amazingly, they're the ones that said, oh no, Ray Epps is not a federal agent, the first man ever to be declared innocent by the federal government, despite Ray Epps himself saying that we need to storm into the Capitol and seemingly almost orchestrating some of the events on January the 6th. Sarah Longwell, a GOP strategist and former chair of the Log Cabin Republicans, said, quote, Orwell said, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. The Republican Party is censuring Cheney and Kinzinger for one reason. They're telling the truth about Donald Trump and his attempt to overturn an American election. And the Republican Party wants to shut them up. Is that what the RNC is doing? No, the RNC is doing the right thing here. And this is why, and this is articles by Newsweek, which I think gives way too much of a platform, my personal opinion, to all the dissenters. But what is the RNC thinking here? It's very simple. As the country falls apart and the left does so gleefully and gladly, people who want to contribute to that decline just to get good headlines in the New York Times, don't call yourself a Republican. You can call yourself something else, but you're not part of the standards that the Republican Party sets forward. You see, a political party is nothing more than a group of people that have values and want to align around those values and implement them into public policy. But Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, for a variety of different reasons, are saying that, well, no, no, we're the true Republicans and the people at the RNC meeting are not. Pro-Trump Republican colleagues have previously dubbed Kinzinger and Cheney as, quote, spies of the Democrats. Kinzinger, an Illinois Republican, has chosen not to seek re-election in the midterms this year. Now, why else would they censure Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney? They voted for impeachment, an unconstitutional, unprecedented impeachment that was basically overnight, of a sitting Republican president. Both lawmakers pushed back against the RNC's censure effort on Thursday, asserting they do not regret their opposition to Trump and his faction of the GOP. Cheney says, I'm a constitutional conservative, and I do not recognize those in my party who have abandoned the Constitution to embrace Donald Trump. It's the opposite. You've abandoned the Constitution, Liz Cheney, at every single turn. And while we're – I don't need to dwell on this, but the Cheney family, like, talking about constitutional rights, that dog doesn't hunt, okay? We can go through Gitmo. We can go through domestic surveillance. We can go through the unitary executive theory. Not exactly a family. When I think of Cheney, I don't exactly think of the Constitution. Kinzinger said he has no regrets regarding his, quote, decision to uphold my oath of office and defend the Constitution. You notice they're the ones that are trying to be the guardians of this document. Well, here's a question for you guys. Where constitutionally does it say, according to House rules, that you're allowed to have a select committee without representation of the minority party? Where does it say that? Doesn't. The committee very well might be an unconstitutional committee. Kinzinger says, I'll continue to focus my efforts on standing for truth and working to fight in the political matrix that led us to where we find ourselves today. Whatever that means. And then you have Bill Cassidy, who comes out and defends them. I'm wondering, are the voters of Louisiana enthusiastic about that? Are the voters of Louisiana enthusiastic about defending Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger? On February 9th, 2021, Bill Cassidy also voted that Trump's impeachment was constitutional, reversing his previous vote on the matter. He was one of seven Republicans to vote to convict Trump of inciting insurrection. You're right, Connor. That's exactly right. The Republican Party is actually going to be stronger than ever because the people are flocking to the Republican Party. But the Republican Party needs to trim some people in our ranks. We need to get rid of some of the dead weight. Getting rid of Kinzinger, Cheney, Cassidy, of these people, it'll do nothing but actually strengthen the Republican Party of a working class, diverse, multi-generational movement that's focused on the constitution issues, focused on American exceptionalism. And the question is, who really holds the power in the Republican Party? I'm going to talk about a story that was published in Axios this morning that's super interesting. I happen to be in this story. That's not the reason we're talking about it. But who are the new kingmakers in the Republican Party, according to left-leaning Axios? Who has the power? Look, a lot of people are worried right now, and you should be. There's inflation. There's crime everywhere. And people are talking about a major economic collapse. I'm worried about it. I'm not saying it's going to happen for sure, but I'm definitely worried about it. Are you prepared for the worst? What are you going to do if there's an EMP? Do you know what an EMP is? Google it. Electromagnetic pulse. No electricity. Stuck at home. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. 9 meals. And guess what? After 6 meals, people start to get really anxious. They might start coming to your home looking for food. Are you prepared? Do you have the emergency food you can rely on no matter what happens or when? Look, I am an unapologetic prepper. People can make fun of it. They scoff at it. My family will be well fed when things fall apart. I urge you right now to get the 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're the nation's largest emergency food company. They've served millions of your fellow Americans over the last 15 years. And they have 48,000 4-star and 5-star reviews from satisfied customers. I got their product stashed away next to my ammunition and my gold. Right now, save $50 on their 4-week emergency food kit, which gives you breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks totaling over 2,000 calories a day. The food stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. It'll be there when you need it. You know, people laugh at preppers. Have you read 20th century history? Do you know what happened in Cambodia, the Soviet Union, Italy, Germany, China? Yeah, things fall apart. Yes, that is a book that many 7th graders read, but also things do fall apart. Second law of thermodynamics, the inevitable law of decay. Are you prepared? Go to preparewithkirk.com. That's preparewithkirk.com. Take out your phone. Go to preparewithkirk.com right now and save $50 per kit per person. Act now and your order will ship quickly and arrive discreetly at your door in unmarked boxes. That's preparewithkirk.com. Preparewithkirk.com. So there's a fundraiser that Liz Cheney was doing. This stuff just bothers me so much. Just have a little bit of gratitude. Be magnanimous. So they're doing this fundraiser for Liz Cheney in March. Okay, whatever. The regular Cheney people are going to be there. It's fine. But Scooter Libby is going to be there. And Scooter Libby is Cheney's faithful aide. Now, what does Scooter Libby have to connect himself to Trump? Trump pardoned Scooter Libby when he was convicted of leaking a CIA officer's name and lied about it, committed perjury in 2007. Trump pardoned him and cleaned his record completely. And how does Scooter Libby thank him? By getting involved in a primary race against the very man's wishes who pardoned him. At least just stay out of it. At least tell Dick, like, man, I've worked with you for years, but honestly, George Bush didn't pardon me, and he could have. Bush was president till January of 2009, and he didn't pardon Scooter Libby. Trump did. Trump was magnanimous enough to pardon him. How does he thank him? I'm going to go get involved in the primary against the guy that pardoned me wishes. It's just that's so typical DC, and Trump got played there. It just really frustrates me. There's this article that it's called The Making of a Modern Republican. It's by Jonathan Swan and Lachlan Marquet. And they're definitely center left, Lachlan and Jonathan Swan, but they've always treated me very well, and I think they have a fair amount of integrity. They could be annoying, and I think some headlines could be rewritten and stuff, but I wouldn't put them in the opposition category by any means whatsoever. This is one of the fairest, most interesting articles I've read in quite some time, where it goes through kind of the change in the Republican Party and the change in the conservative movement, where it says, look, paths to power and winning elections inside the Republican Party are changing rapidly and radically, spawning a new generation of quote-unquote kingmakers. I don't like that phrase. That's their phrase. While diminishing the clout of many who lorded over the party for years. Why it matters. 14 of the Republican Party's top consultants and operatives across the country spoke in detail with Axios about how profoundly primary races have changed since 2014. Here's what Axios found. Those sources, whose clients range from as Trumpy as they come to establishment Republicans, described a clear shift in the party's power brokers. They spoke of changes to the ecosystem across 4 categories: institutional upheaval, endorsements, conservative, media, and donors. And so they talk about people who used to have the power, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Drudge Report, National Review, and then they talk about who has the power now. Now, my friend Jesse Waters texted me this literally at like 5 a.m. when I was taking my dog out. I was like, what? He's like, congratulations, Kirk, you're a kingmaker. What the heck are you talking about? Is that an Axios link? So what kind of trouble did I get in? It's actually rather nice. They say, here who has the power now in the Republican Party? Donald Trump, Tucker Carlson, family and former aides to Trump, Fox News, Daily Wire, Breitbart News, all good friends of ours, other online influencers, Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro, Dan Bongino, Joe Rogan, Jack Posobiec, Charlie Kirk, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. They had Dave Portnoy in there in the first writing. I think they got rid of it. But sure, why not? So they did mention us, Steve Bannon and the Susan B. Anthony list. And they say most of these changes were not gradual. They were triggered by the shockwave of 2016. And it says this, that several GOP institutional titans from the 2014 cycle have since receded. The Koch Network, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and there's a whole new group of people. And I'll be honest, the fact that Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump, Candace, Bongino, Rogan, Jack Posobiec, Steve Bannon, people in that mold are now calling the shots of the Republican Party, that's a really good thing, everybody. Versus the Chamber of Commerce, versus open border lobbies or internationalist type organizations. What does that signal? It shows the Republican Party is becoming a people-centered party. And Axios articulates this in a very fair analysis that says the Republican Party is changing in front of your very eyes. It's a Republican Party that wants to win and truly save the country, not just manage its decline. Look, everybody, I know you love freedom and you want to defend it. And I know you love the Constitution. It's a beautiful document, and so do I. And it's the same with Hillsdale College, the best liberal arts college in America. Hillsdale's mission is pursuing truth and defending liberty. It gives its undergraduate and graduate students the best education and is working to make this education available to all, from offering free online courses to helping support K through 12 schools. But today I want to tell you about Hillsdale's amazing free monthly digest of liberty. It's called Imprimis. Over 6 million households and businesses receive Imprimis for free each month. And you can join them by subscribing right now at charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. There's no strings attached while you're there. Take an online course. Take their Aristotle course. Take their Winston Churchill course. Take their Western theology course. Generous donors who love freedom make it possible for Hillsdale to send you Imprimis for free. Imprimis is one of my favorite publications, and Imprimis means in the first place. It's short, smart, useful, and fun. Start receiving your own free copy of this great digest of liberty and take an online course while you're at it. Enroll. Their Great American Story course is incredible. Visit charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. Check it out right now, charlie4hillsdale.com. Madison Cawthorn is here, Congressman from North Carolina. Madison, how you holding up?
Charlie, doing good, brother. Good to talk to you.
All right, Madison. So I have been following this story. It's a little bit complicated, so I'm going to allow you to explain it to our audience, and we'll go from there.
Well, there's a plot afoot in America, and we know that the left really tries to take ownership of the English lexicon. They try to use words to their advantage, and they're pretty daggum good at it. I always thought it was strange throughout most of 2021 that they kept using the word insurrection. You know, I figured they might use the word riot or some people were trespassing, but they continue to use this word insurrection. Charlie, you and I had a discussion about it. We started seeing people on Twitter start bringing up the 14th Amendment, which says that insurrectionists and enemies of America cannot hold elected office. And this was created after the Civil War to make sure that Confederate troops could not hold office in the United States Congress. But now there's a guy named Mark Elias. Now, Mark Elias is someone who's responsible for a lot of what we here in Washington, D.C. call lawfare. Lawfare is a mixture of the word, you know, being a lawyer and basically a mixture of the word warfare. It's using the judicial system and the laws that are on the books to be able to go out and do battle against your political opponents, which is not what the judicial system was set up to do. So there's a man named Mark Elias who is engaging in lawfare, and he funds a lot of the legal challenges to good Republican and conservative legislation that goes on in a lot of states. My state, North Carolina, passed with 68% of all North Carolinians supporting it, voter ID laws. Now, Mark Elias and his little cronies came in, and they've held this up in court ever since then for several years. This goes on in almost every single state. Whenever there's a great Republican bill, Mark Elias's team is there to try and stop it. But now Mark Elias has gotten 11 people in my congressional district, which is made up of about 740,000 people, to file a complaint with the North Carolina Board of Elections, alleging that they have a reasonable suspicion that I am an insurrectionist and therefore cannot be placed on the ballot and cannot be elected. Now, obviously, everyone who hears this says, oh, well, that's asinine. I mean, you were just exercising your First Amendment rights when you went to speak at the Stop the Steal rally on January 6th. And then you went and you were doing your constitutional duty to either certify or not certify an election and to debate whether we should do that for about 2 hours. Now they're saying because I was debating on the House floor, because I led the effort to object to the election because it was obviously quite stolen. And now, just so you understand how bad this Mark Elias character is, Mark Elias is really the architect of the steal that happened in 2020 against President Donald Trump. And so since they're saying that I was really leading the charge against trying to stop the election in Congress, they are saying that I led this so-called insurrection. I'm putting my fingers up for air quotes. Now, obviously, this is asinine, but they have a real legal case here because in North Carolina, the bare minimum of what you have to have for a reasonable suspicion is really just that you think the person that's been trying to hold office is an insurrectionist. And so basically that's where we're at. Now, we filed a counterpunch lawsuit in federal court. Thank God that Donald Trump put a lot of good, lower level judges in office. So we have a good constitutional judge who's on that case. And so we're hoping that we're going to be able to win this and knock Mark Elias in his teeth. But unfortunately, it's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of time to actually do this because it is going to be a legal battle.
I think you're going to win the legal battle, but I just want everyone to understand this. So the Board of Elections, if 11 people complain, they accept it. Is that right? 11 people in your congressional district, that's all it takes to disbar you from running?
That is correct. That's why it's so unique to North Carolina. There's only a few states where this would actually work, but North Carolina, the requirements of proof is so low, it just has to be reasonable doubt by one of your constituents.
Well, I mean, the obvious idea I have, I don't know the North Carolina delegation that well. I'm sure there's some BLM supporter. We should go file 11 of them for the insurrection that happened during Floydapalooza. I mean, just fight fire with fire. That's not for you. That's just me thinking out loud. Where's the North Carolina Republican Party doing that? That's an interesting question. So this is so insane, Madison. It's first of all, no one's been charged with insurrection. It's no one. There was no insurrection, okay? And it was a riot, you could call it a protest. I didn't like what happened that day. Obviously, I denounced it. You were on air with us, by the way, Madison, denouncing it. And they're saying you were part of it. You were on our show. Like basically fearing for your safety in some sense, and to try to loop you in with this is unbelievable. I mean, just declaring anything an insurrection, then nothing is stopping anyone from just destroying your political future. So this, you said, let's just focus on North Carolina. This is just North Carolina. Is that right? This is other states. This wouldn't be as easy to disqualify you. Is that correct?
Well, Charlie, I know there's a few other states this would apply where the requirement of proof is so low, but no, North Carolina is the perfect, most fertile soil to be able to bring this up.
Okay, so they just to everyone to understand, they accuse you of being an insurrectionist, and then they prevent you from your constitutional right to run for office.
I mean, that is absolutely correct. And so basically, all they have to have is what they call reasonable doubt in North Carolina to be able to file this charge. And so it's ridiculous. I'll tell you that. I know that we're going to win. I mean, we have the people and God on our side, and we have the law on our side. But this is just one of their tactics. Because now, Charlie, I don't really think they're coming after me. I mean, obviously, they are coming after the American people. I think what's going on with the January 6th prisoners is what they want to have as a template for what they want to do to basically any good-hearted patriotic American who wants to speak out against the regime. But unfortunately, there are several members in Congress who have the ability to be able to launch investigations and get in their way and expose things that happen. And so therefore, they can't just blatantly go out and attack the American people as much as they want to, even though they are getting very bold, as you see, they're labeling school age moms who are going out and protesting at a school board meeting, domestic terrorists. And they're using the FBI to raid James O'Keefe's apartment. But so they're starting to get bolder and bolder. But there are America First members of Congress who are speaking out against it. And I guess I just must have been the loudest. That's why they came for me first. But unfortunately, if they take me down, if they set this precedent in this case, and they will be able to take out dozens of others of members of Congress, and then you're just going to be left with kind of the rhino-controlled opposition who just goes up there and likes to be elected. They don't actually like to get anything done. And therefore, we would see the America that we know and love fall very quickly.
I mean, I can't imagine a judge allows this to continue, right? I mean, I think a judge looks at this. They say, wait a second. You have not been charged with a crime. You're not being investigated for a crime. No one has been charged with what – no one, no person, not the Chewbacca guy or the eye patch man or any of the assortment of characters that were there on January 6th have been charged with insurrection. No one. And so a judge is going to look at this and he'll say, wait a second. So you have 11 guys that think you're an insurrectionist and you've been charged with nothing – and you're already an elected official, yeah, you can run for office. I can't imagine a judge doesn't side with you on this.
Well, unfortunately, we have a very liberal court system in North Carolina that's been known to side with their political allies. They are hyper-political. But unfortunately, we have filed this case in federal court, and we have some pretty good constitutional judges. So hopefully we're going to see this defeated very quickly. Hopefully we'll see a precedent set. But unfortunately, if this does have to go to the Supreme Court, you know, I'm not going to hate the fact that I beat the state of North Carolina trying to destroy America at 26 years old in the Supreme Court. That would be a fun thing to have on the resume. And also, I would just love to be able to beat Mark Elias because he really is responsible for Joe Biden being in office.
Well, that's exactly right. And in the third hour of this program, we have Dinesh D'Souza coming up. Madison, I don't know how much you've seen of the evidence that has come out with the 2,000 mules. It's unbelievable evidence that shows that there was a coordinated criminal network of ballot harvesting and ballot dropping in the middle of the night, people wearing latex gloves, taking off the gloves after they drop off the ballots, taking pictures of the ballots before they put them in, cell phone technology pinpointing down to 3 meters of multiple stops. I know, it blows people's minds when they hear this. And I spent 6 hours, Madison, day before yesterday with Dinesh D'Souza, Dennis Prager, Larry Elder, Eric Metaxas, and Sebastian Gorka in a private – like very, very private setting, going through all this evidence piece by piece by piece. And I started as a skeptic because, you know, Madison, we've heard Dominion machines, we heard all this crazy stuff. And I said, oh my goodness, this is the smoking gun. And
yes.
So and it's going to validate so many people that like you and me that had instincts that we said, wait, there's something wrong here. And it's against a lot of ballot harvest in Georgia. That alone, we know we have them on. But why is it that the same people that were dropping off the ballots at these ballot boxes were also visiting NGOs, non-government organizations tied to Stacey Abrams? That's proven. And so all of a sudden you're saying, was there some sort of coordinated network here to illegally foster and collect ballots? That would be something that I think is a lot more important of whether or not some vegan guy that dressed up like Chewbacca walks into the Senate. Madison.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, Charlie, I'll tell you. When we get into power in 2022, once we take over the House of Representatives, you know, there's a lot of kind of rhinos who just want to, you know, they want to work on tax policy and make sure that we have good corporations. And obviously, I want to reshore all of our manufacturing, and that's very important to me. But I think the most important thing is that we restore the faith to the American people that the federal government will be held accountable. I mean, we're going to put Anthony Fauci in jail for lying to Congress.
Good.
We are going to make sure that we have an audit, a forensic audit of all 50 states. And then anyone who attacked and destroyed our elections, they are going to face severe consequences. And I hope they spend their life in prison.
By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again with his My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and outdoor all day long, and made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code KIRK. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. So look, it's towels, blankets, comforters. You know Mike Lindell. He's great. It also supports our show. So if you want to get a good night's rest and you're like, hey, I got to buy a couple pillows or I need some more blankets. I'm moving in. I got rid of some or the dog, you know, destroyed some blankets. MyPillow.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show and Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com. Promo code Kirk. Don't forget promo code Kirk. Helps us out. God bless you guys. Madison, the Republican Party RNC voted yesterday to censure Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. What are your thoughts?
Oh, that's fantastic. After last night, we saw the GOP and the RNC decided to censure them. I put a call out on my social media for all my patriotic friends here in Congress that we need to quickly and rapidly expel them from the Republican Party. This is just basically be a signal to the American people that, yes, we'll even hold people in our own party accountable. And this is what's to come when we take power in the next cycle. Once we take power in the next session of Congress, 118th Congress, you know, actually, Charlie, I've had a lot of people tell me that we just need to instantly abolish the January 6th committee because it's a terrible committee and it shouldn't exist. Now, I agree with them. It's terrible. They only have nominal opposition on it. And they only have two Republican members of Congress on the whole committee. There's no Republican staff on it. There's no Republican counsel. So it's not really a constitutional committee. But I have to tell you, Charlie, I kind of want to keep the committee, as wild as that sounds.
Why do you want to keep the committee?
Because I think a lot of people actually do want to have answers to what happened on January 6th. A lot of people actually want to know, was our federal government involved? Was this a false flag operation used by the FBI, whatever three-letter agency you want to use? How many agents did we have inside, infiltrated in this crowd? What did Nancy Pelosi know, and when did she know it? What did all of the Capitol Police leaders know, and when did they know it? Why are we hiding all of these videos? I just want the truth to come out, because I believe we have some very high-ranking, very vile and evil and unpatriotic officials in our federal government. And it's part of the deep state. And so I just want to turn the January 6th committee into a committee that will start rooting out the deep state once and for all.
Who is Ray Epps? Who planted the pipe bombs? Some pretty basic questions. Why were the pipe bombs both at the RNC and the DNC? And why was there a guy using a cell phone on a park bench? Who was that guy? Why haven't we found him? Who planted the pipe bombs? It's really weird. Hopefully we'll be able to find out one day. Madison, you have a new district drawn in North Carolina. Tell us about it.
I do. So I am now going to be – it's a much more Republican district, and so the future looks, you know, even better. We'll be able to have a stronger district. The re-elections will be less difficult, but that's just the way it was drawn. But then the Supreme Court of North Carolina decided to rip away all the lines. They were saying things were gerrymandered, and so it's now going to be redrawn. Who knows what's going to happen? We'll know on February 14th, Valentine's Day. So we'll see what's going on. I'm not yet sure exactly what the future holds for North Carolina politics right now. But we definitely have so many great patriots in North Carolina. But, you know, you really have to keep an eye on it because our state is what they call a purple state. I mean, it goes both ways. We have a blue governor. We have two Republican senators. You know, you never know exactly what you're going to get out of the statewide elections. And I think the reason that is because a lot of people in North Carolina don't go out to vote. You know, actually, the largest registration group, I think it's 34% of all North Carolina, of all the North Carolina electorate, are actually independent voters. They're not Republican, they're not Democrat, and they can vote in either primary. And I think a lot of them don't actually come out to vote because they think that obviously the radical left has left them. They have gone to a complete wacko side. And then they think that the Republican Party is just focused in incremental GDP increases at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But that is not – I believe that the reason I was able to win my district, which was the most difficult district in the entire state to win, we were only supposed to win by 1%, but we ended up winning by 13%, is because we had a lot of people who don't normally come out to vote. You know, the mechanic, the lineman, the people who feel like they've been forgotten by the federal government come out to vote because I wasn't backing down on the things that I said. And I think the American people want to see some leadership right now. They want to see some people who have backbone and who are going to go out and say things that are somewhat controversial. But to have the ability to think, you have to risk being offended. And I think that sometimes we have to be offensive in some situations because, you know, the previous generation and the generation even before that was raised completely on the idea that you don't talk about religion and you don't talk about politics. Well, Charlie, I know you know this, and I know a lot of people are starting to realize this. Those are the two most important things in the world. And since we stopped talking about those, since we stopped learning how to have long-form conversations, I think that's why we've seen the deterioration in our country and the division that we see today.
Madison, we have your back. You're welcome. Anytime we can help you, and you are doing a wonderful job. You're going to win that lawsuit. I'm confident of it, even if it means that it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. Disqualifying somebody. There's literally been convicted felons that have run for office as congresspeople, and they're trying to disqualify you because you've done nothing wrong, because 11 people say that you've done something wrong because they read the New York Times and they were paid by Mark Elias. Ilhan Omar allegedly married her brother, and the evidence is overwhelming. Yeah, but okay, she could serve in Congress. Madison, we have your back. You're going to win this thing, and you're going to win big in November. God bless you, Madison. Thanks so much.
Great, Charlie. See you later, brother.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.